Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The pursuit of prestige and revenue are clouding the mission of higher education in America and raising questions about just how committed many colleges are to economic equality. That's according to a report released today by the Washington-based New American Foundation.
Researchers analyzed recent data from the U.S. Department of Education and came up with this. Colleges and universities are using financial aid, merit scholarships, and tuition reductions to attract wealthy students, forcing many poor students to pay much more than they can afford and take on heavy debt.
And joining us now is Stephen Bird. He's the author of the report and a senior policy analyst at the nonpartisan New America Foundation. And welcome to Radio Boston, Stephen. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So your report seems to contradict this basic idea that most colleges put forward, that their financial aid practices make them more affordable for those in need. You conclude something very different. What did you find?
Well, I think what we've seen is that there has been a major shift over the last two decades. Two decades ago, we saw that colleges were providing primarily need-based financial aid, money going to low-income students to help them pay for college. Since then, we've seen a dramatic growth in non-need aid, also known as merit aid, money going to try to attract the best and the brightest students and also the wealthiest.
I see. And so what's the result? What happens then, for example, to the net price of college to poorer students?
So we found that two-thirds of private colleges have net prices, which is the amount that they owe after all grant and scholarship aid is taken into account, of over $15,000, which is half to almost all of their yearly income.
Yeah, just to be clear about that, I mean, you're defining a low income family as families that make $30,000 a year or less, and yet
exactly. The
net price is over $15,000.
Over $15,000.
So more than half of their total
income.
And that's
$15,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
And on the public college side, it's not quite as bad, but we did find that one-third of public colleges have net prices for low-income students of over $10,000. And it's in the financial crisis that we've had, states have been disinvesting from their public higher education systems, and more states are following the model of the private colleges. So I would expect that if I do this study in another couple of years, we'll see even worse results on the public college side.
Why are universities doing this? This shift from financial need-based aid toward merit aid?
So there are a number of reasons. One has become the all-important rankings, the U.S. News rankings. Every college seems to want to rise up in the rankings, and attracting the best and brightest students helps them in that pursuit. As I said, on the public side, as states have disinvested, but not just on the public side, also on the private side, colleges are looking for wealthier students. Colleges in general are trying to give little merit scholarships to get otherwise full-pay students, and it's good for their bottom lines.
Now, you write that very selective colleges, for example, Harvard, MIT, give financial aid, a lot of financial based only on financial need.
Exactly.
Right. So tell us a little more about that. That sounds like good news.
Yes. I mean, there are some colleges that are doing, and some, almost a handful, but of private colleges that are doing a great job. Amherst College in Massachusetts is doing a great job. The president, the former president there, Anthony Marks, had made it a real priority to enroll low-income students and make it affordable for them, and the results are very positive. Then you've got schools like Harvard, which are need blind in admission and also meet the full financial need of low-income students. The only problem there is that they don't enroll a huge number of low-income students. So you tend to find that the low-income students who do go are very well-funded, but there still is a lot of room for growth for them to bring in more low-income students. And I think there have been genuine efforts over the last few years to do that.
So Stephen Bird, in terms of sort of tackling this challenge of fostering equality within college admissions, what's the sort of overall takeaway from your report in terms of what needs to happen to turn this in another direction?
Well, I mean, one of the driving forces of the report is I cover federal student aid, and the government gives out over $35 billion in Pell Grant funds to colleges with the expectation that colleges are helping low-income students afford to go to college. I believe that federal action is needed, changes in the incentive structure built into Pell Grants to try to change the behaviors of colleges. Now, there are private college leaders and other college leaders who have recognized that this is a problem, and they've talked about trying to solve it themselves, but it seems that the schools are so steeped in this sort of intense competition for the best and wealthiest that it's unlikely they'll be able to do it on their own. So I do believe that some type of federal action is needed.
Well, that's Stephen Bird. He's a senior policy analyst at the New America Foundation and the author of Undermining Pell, How Colleges Compete for Wealthy Students and Leave the Low Income Behind. You can find a link to that report at radioboston.org. And Stephen Bird, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.